Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, family. We had a little technical difficulty on how long we were going to run the show, and it ran out on me, so I had to reboot and come back. So how is the African family doing, and how are the children? I hope they're doing fine. We're talking about family science. It's a part of our new awakening in mind, soul, body, and spirit. We're addressing all avenues of caring for not only the body, but relationships in a marriage, and also those who are not in relationships. We are also looking at the family and how we can reorder those marriage vows. Now, in the meantime, I had a little advertisement that wanted to discourage me, to tell me that marriages, 30% of them were failing. Now, I know at one time African Americans were the leading groups in the marriage institution. We were staying married the longest in statistical data. However, now we are not even venturing out to advance ourselves in the marriage of institution because we don't see the necessity for it. We think we can put it off because we are in our jobs and we're trying to advance. Well, let me say something to the women. At one time, the women were not in the workforce, and their place was designated to be a family member and running the role of managing, and their job was being an actual institution in the home and running the household first and foremost. And that was a job that was badly needed and people could recognize and they could respect. Now, for some reason or other, someone has gone and told the black woman her place is in the boardroom and not raising her children. Now, the majority of our black children are being taken out of our homes because of male treatment, frustration, mother being tied up in her job, mother having too much on her mind, physically abusing her children, so they're being taken out of the home. And these are professional women I'm talking about. Their children are being taken, and most of the children in the public schools are living with foster care parents. Would you believe it? This is the largest percentage of black children that are not with their birth mothers, who are with several other foster care parents. And there is a lookout and a demand to recruit those foster care parents. Come in and sign up and be a foster care mother. Be all that you can be and make all the money that you can make too. So we want to address this topic, this institution. what is going on and what is the nature of this problem where male treatment is on the rampage in the black homes. Why? Is it because of the frustration that women are going through where they cannot handle holding down a full-time job and being a full-time mother? You've got a number of black women going back to work right after the placenta has been taken out of their womb and the child is only 3 months old, and yet the mother is back at work. She's still suffering from the blues, and she's coming home frustrated late at night. Children are not getting a decent meal. People are watching, and they're waiting for her to mess up and stumble so they can snatch those children right out of the home. Not to mention, she has not gone through co-parenting, which is something that's so badly needed after a divorce. Let me drive it home to you. I thought it was so badly needed that I set up an institution that would offer co-parenting training to those couples who had split and had children and needed to have a structured plan of how they were going to raise those children away and at distance in their own homes, and how they were going to set up the visitation hours. Most of these states have mandated that everyone who goes through a divorce, they must go through co-parenting training, and preferably with a licensed co-parenting resolutionist who has the capability of getting them through their six-hour training course and then going before the court so that they can get an instruction of how they're going to manage and set up visitation and raise those children as two separate entities. Now, I'm pushing for this because we are going to bring the judge back. That's right. I brought the judge on, and we're going to be saying it again. Here come the judge, because she is the one that has been faced with talking to these mothers who have gone through a divorce and who have not taken their co-parenting training. She's actually designed a program that they can take and get their necessary hours that they need that is mandated by the court. So what is happening with divorce? Let's just go over it for a minute. Now, I'm not going to sit here and fool you and tell you that I've never been divorced or I wouldn't divorce. Yes, I've been divorced, but I did reunify and come back together after a 38-year marriage and now running on 42 years. Now, that's a big one for you. Some people won't make it to that point, but thank God that I was privileged to be able to reunify. I want to talk to some of you about reunification because it is available to you. If you decide to go back and remarry that person, you have that option. And parenting is no option. You have to continue to keep parenting. Even if that man is far away from you and he has the children, and even if you are far away from him and you have the children, you must set up the opportunities for visitation rights, and you must schedule age-appropriate activities for those children to do. You just can't have them sitting in your house while you're doing nothing and they're bored to tears and they don't want to come back and visit Dad anymore. No. Dad has to go to classes to learn about age-appropriate activities for his children. So he's well-versed on Child Development 101, and he can go into the judge and show the judge that he has the capability of having dual custody of that child because he knows what to do with that child when that child is in his care. Now, let's go back. Let's go way back. And I started discussing this. Let's lay a foundation. Where did reasoning come from? And where did socialization come from? Who brought it into being? Let me explain to you, as a history teacher, I do pride myself on trying to understand customs and traditions because we cannot all get along if we don't understand each other's customs and tradition and rituals. Now, we as a people of African American are very ritualistically inclined. Yes, we are. Maybe we don't appear to be because we're in the churches waiting for the preacher to tell us when to say amen. He has an amen corner. Now, will the church say amen? Then he has a hallelujah, can I get a hallelujah over here group. But see, we are well versed when it comes to our elders. It used to be a time when we were grown ups, we still dobalayed our elders, and that means touching the ground, putting your head to the ground before you come in the room with your elders, bowing your head so that your eyes are lower, so that when you come in there, you're not looking upon your elders with disrespect. We were taught this in our circular sessions called folklore sessions. Now, these are the things, Johnny, that you do when you leave home. These are the things you don't do. When you leave home, make sure you're respectful to the officers. Speak to the officers and say, "How are you doing, sir?" "No, thank you, sir." "Yes, sir." And make sure that you're acknowledging the adults and authority. We understood what authority figures were and how we had to begin to humble ourselves in their presence. We understood this because this was a part of the folk training. You got folk training, not just school training, but you got folk chain training, how to act when you go outside those doors. Remember that you're carrying our name and you have the bloodline on your hand. You must not bring the name back tainted or dirty, and you must not go out and bring calamities upon the family. You must not go out and disrespect our family and our name be tainted. These are the things that were taught around the circle. And there were talks specifically for the males. Males, make sure you keep your hands where the officer can see you and put them on the dashboard. Never put them in your pocket. Never move your hands where they can't see you. Always follow instructions of the officer, no matter what case it was. And not to mention, the girls were told, you don't get in the car with anyone. I don't care how far you're walking, you say no thank you. And if you go to someone's house to go greet them and they invite you in for dinner, no thank you. I have food enough at home to receive. Thank you, but no thank you. And girls, you don't go off in dark places with young boys where they can fondle you and expose you and rape you. And make sure you understand that when you put yourself in that position, you are putting yourself on the line for being raped. Now, some girls have even gone and not even reported it and thought it was their fault because they put themselves in an awkward position. One of the things that African Americans was good on, if things were bad in town for black boys, they didn't mess around with it. If Johnny was being picked on too many times or being pulled over by the policeman too many times, Johnny was going to Grandma's house up north for the summer. Or Johnny was going to Aunt Nisha's house to stay with her permanently until he finished high school. We understood the circumstances and the weight that could be put on our children from somebody viciously wanting to pull that trigger and clap that gun. So we sent our children away because we wanted to preserve them. We understood what the protocol was. And young women today don't understand that their dad is their best asset. If you have dads at home, you must understand you are looking for a man in your life that exemplifies your father. And if he doesn't have those qualities, he cannot measure up to be your man. And these are the things that fathers ought to be telling young girls. We have a protocol. Now, let's use the protocol. I was brought up in a family of 18, 11 girls and 7 boys. We had protocol as if we were in the military regime. Line up, recite the protocol of what you should do. Tell me how you are going to handle this situation. Act out the part. Show me and show and tell. Show and tell what we've taught you, what we've drilled you over. So we knew the protocol. Now that is the bringing it up to the modern day. Let's go back way, way back to probably the 18th centuries when things were just being formalized in Africa. So everyone was roaming around trying to figure out how it was done. No, not everyone. The Africans had a long lineage of training that they received from their ancestors that was orally passed on. But how was it passed on when they couldn't read or write? They could read and write. They created languages, and all other continents developed languages from the African. The Meduneta was written as well as spoken. Their universities and campuses were filled with Europeans coming there for tutelage to get their literacy and their language, coming there to get their endorsements in education and become academia. Now, you may not remember Aristotle. You may not even remember all of the outstanding Europeans that came there and got learning. And then when they came back to their continent, they said, yes, the Africans taught us. The Africans taught us. What do you mean the Africans taught you? You can't learn anything from any of those Slavy-looking people. How is it that you could learn and get knowledge from them? They made them denounce the learning to the point where some of them were put in prison. Some of them were even killed for coming back saying that it was the Africans who were responsible for reasoning and who gave us African philosophy and reasoning. They were actually tortured to death, some of them. Now, you think Africa was famous because of all of the animals? What about Timbuktu, one of the first universities there in Africa where all learning came out for Europeans alike? So we had foundation. Yes, there was protocol. There was the rites of passage for the young boy that he went through before he went into manhood, before he got his own hut and transitioned out of the home into the community where he actually hunted for himself and provided for himself until he took a wife. Now, the woman, the young girl, was a little bit more protective. Her husband was decided upon for her, and she was given over to a husband and decided by the mother and the father, irregardless of what the young woman thought, if she was upon age, for marriage. She was then solicited to the community for any one of the young males that might be interested, or if it was a family member they knew and they were accustomed to knowing his background, his financial status, and if he was financially well-to-do. A lot of times those families were very, very quick to collaborate with the other family, and a dowry was given to the family and to the young girl as well, as if the young man was buying the young lady away from the family. But there was also a courtship that went on for several days with the young man wooing the woman off her feet so that she would know that she's been sported and courted. So when he came to get her, they had a relationship. They had some contact of coming together. These were the things that our families were entitled and responsible for doing for their children. They just didn't let their child run out and get any old Joe Blow to marry because she didn't find a husband. It was a good thing for a male to find a wife. It's very important that we should understand this. We've lost our ever-loving mind. We act as if we've never been tutelage on any of the instructions. Why is it that when you turn 18, you don't know you're supposed to go out and get a job? You don't know that you should be working to save your money so you could take a wife. And wives, potential wives, why is it that you keep putting marriage off and childbearing off all in the name of getting that next promotion? What I have to tell you, God is not pleased with you when you have not honored the marriage of institution as one of your first prerequisites to becoming a woman. You don't know what it is to become a woman until you've been able to take care of a family and a home. But without this, where you're just taking care of yourself, you could live any old kind of runchy life and not have any standards that you lift up. So when a man does come a courting, that's a decent man that wants to marry you, You may then put it off again because you're still waiting for that next promotion and you're still putting your whole life around your advancement in the employment world. But there are so many women that have bypassed their opportunity to marry that they've actually turned into old maidens, and now it's too late, and they can't even put their eggs away in the oven for a later date. So we've lost track. And it is up to a husband to maintain the spirituality of a woman, mind, soul, body, and spirit. If there's something wrong with my baby, there's something wrong with me. Our entertainers knew this, and they sang this song, and they reminded the man, if there's something wrong with your woman, there's something wrong with you. You go home and tend to your woman. And remember the old saying, I ain't studying you? Where it used to be, we had to study on a woman, study on a man. When you studied on something, you get to know the mind of that person. But it's very vital that we got to get it together. We got to reorder our marriage vow. We got to come out of this old Eurocentric concept. It's not us. Give it back to the proper owners. We can't go running after their methodology for what to do with children in the family. We know, because Kuta Kente showed us, when a child was born, you lifted that child up to the sky and rededicated it back to God because it didn't belong to you. It was coming back through the birth womb of one of our ancestors. And we had to know that child's purpose. What is this child's purpose? And an oracle was done, a reading was done to determine that child's destination. What is his destiny? What is the birthmark and destiny of that child? What must he do in this world? He kneeled down at the knees of Oromola and asked to come here. What did he ask to come here to do? What was his destiny? These are the things that are traditional in African family. I don't expect them to be traditional in the Eurocentric or the Hispanic or the Caucasian or the Jewish. I don't expect them to do these things, but they are required upon by the first world indigenous aboriginal people because we laid the foundation to the world. We gave the world reasoning. We were the ones that's supposed to set the example. What happened to us, people? Why did we go to sleep and become anesthetized and forget what our jobs were? And as we looked at that child and lifted him up to the sky, we did an oracle reading. Who is on his head for his father in the Ifa faith? And who is on his head for his mother in the Ifa faith? What is his nature? What is his calling? What are the things that he's drawn to from the stars? And we knew that the zodiac stars was directly relating to the time and date that that child was born to give him an actual zodiac sign so we can look in his cosmic records and see how many lives he's lived. We knew these things. We were old people. We are the parent people on this planet. We were supposed to know, and we're still supposed to know now. Why is there so much ignorance about what our customs are, what our responsibility is in a community, in a communal setting? Why is it that we don't realize that we are to call on the ancestors together and go as far back into ourselves as we can go and call the latest ancestor to come forth and to reconnect with us as we stand at attention, and then we draw from their melanin, and that makes us strong, and no one can penetrate and break the hedge around us? How is it that we don't know this? How is it that we've forgotten who we really are? Well, that's why it's a call for the marriage vows to be reinvented, dusted off, cleaned off, and reintroduced, and the nuclear family be brought back in harmony because it is broken now. And being a family scientist, that's one of my goals, and that's the aim that I have had for this particular radio show, bringing the family back into harmony. making sure that the Africans knew that they were African. The question for the day was to be or not to be African. That is the only question. Nothing else matters. But we've gone so far away from our African customs and heritage that some of us have begun to bleach our skin and to dye our hair and straighten our hair, and now we can't determine if we're white or black. Michael made that mistake. He made that mistake of using bleaching cream, but yet he didn't want the world to know. Is it that we hate our skin so much that we can't bear the fact that we are dark-skinned Nubian people? Well, it's a blessing to have melanin that will give you longevity. Now, knowing your destiny, also knowing the protocol for a young lady and a young man, it's important that a man go out to work and work to the sweat of his brows and take care of his responsibility and take care of his woman. Because if something is wrong with his baby, then something is wrong with him. It's very important that the man should keep a woman, and a woman should desire to be married because her head is covered. She's protected. When she goes out into the courtyard to consider to buy some land, she's protected. That's why they always ask you, are you married? What are you, a Ms. or Mrs.? Because they want to determine how to treat you. If you are married, they know how far they can go with you because you've got a man backing you. You've got a man supporting you. But so many women don't want to be married today. They are afraid that it might stifle their walk in their profession. Well, I'm a professional woman and have been all over the world working and teaching. But first, I am a wife and a mother. And that is the first commitment I have, to be the best that I can be in my home life and managing my home. There's so many homes that are unmanaged to this day. So many mothers going home physically and morally tired till they have forgotten their children. And they have morally forgotten to teach their children to pray. And that is the responsibility of a mother, to teach her children how to pray and to pray herself likewise and say, in this manner, pray ye likewise like me, teaching the child to pray. And that takes time, but it's necessary, because if you don't teach a child to pray, when that child comes in this world, he will be marked for a disability. He will be crippled. He will be maimed. He will be blind. He will be hunchback, because God said it so. If you will not praise him, he will mark your children for disability. And a large percentage of children are disabled today. It's the marking of God that he puts upon the children because the parents refuse to bow down in worshiping him. God inhabits our praises. He inhabits them. Teach the child that God inhabits his praise. Teach the child to set up an altar in his home. I didn't say go to a building, to a brick and mortar church and give tithes. I say teach him to set down to an altar on his table or in his bedroom that he bows down to something greater than himself. Then he will be humble. Then hide the word in his heart that he will not sin against God, and in the end time, he will draw from the word. These are the things that a mother is supposed to do with her child, her toddler, her infant. Teach him his very first prayer. Teach him that he has to be honorable, because he will be judged for everything he do on a daily basis, and not when the end comes. Every day you're judged, and you will have repercussions and consequences for the deeds that you do, and there is karma that will come back to visit you. Teach your child to be respectable and fearful of the deeds that he does, and show him that he can be an honorable young man or honorable young woman. But it's up to the mother to take the time to do this before she goes off to work. Don't go off to work and hand your baby over to another monster that bonds him to hardware rather than to flesh and blood. And then you wonder what happened to your baby. What happened to the potential for this child to be great? And you didn't put anything in the child. You gave him up to someone else to rear. Mothers, I'm talking to you today because we can do better than what we're doing. We can be the child's first teacher. Don't tell me Johnny can't read and it's the school district's fault. It's your fault because you are to put the desire in Judy, Sonny, Bobby, Jane for desire for literacy, early literacy, prints on the wall, posters, calendars, markings on the wall of their height and weight. It's important for you to be the first teacher and put these things in your child and to teach the child respect, to honor all adults, no matter what their color is or their race. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, no, thank you, ma'am, and to honor them and respect them and to respect authority. So many of our young people don't respect authority, and they're going out on their own whim and not realizing that it's important to respect authority because there has to be someone governing and keeping things in place. Also, help them to understand that it's sometimes necessary to leave a particular state and an area that may be corrupted with the men in blue that don't know what to do for a young boy who they fear will kill them first but to kill them. Sometimes it's important that you tell your son you're going to have to go away from here. You're going to have to move away and explain to him. Just don't abruptly try to push him out of town to leave his family without understanding what the undercurrents is. It's very vital that we know what the responsibility and our roles are in a family. It is the father's responsibility to work under the sweat of his brow, to prepare and provide for that family, for their substance down to their mental stability, to providing food and some tea on the table, to providing enjoyment, to providing leisure, to also giving that wife some exposure to develop her own desires, to develop her advancement and things that she needs to do to make her a better wife. Well, men, you can be a better husband when you understand that you are to take a surveillance of the whole house and you are to find out where does the heart beat irregularly, where do you need to step in, because Johnny is saddened because he can't be on that baseball team because there's no one to go and watch the game, and Johnny is upset because he wanted to be on the swim team, but every year he has to pass it up because he has to go home and be with little sister. Step in and know the pulse of your household, fathers, and know what you have to speak to that mother about to make things change so that there's harmony. Families are designed to come together to have a pulse and a heartbeat, and there must be harmony there. But you cannot have disharmony in a household, and yet you say you have a good family. A father makes up the family. He also steps up. And he allows his wife to do work in duality, to speak on the subject, give her input. But ultimately, the father makes the final decision with the input of the wife. And the wife doesn't walk two steps behind her husband. She doesn't stagger and hold her head down. She's the queen. She is the womb. She is God. And her husband must know she's God, and he must understand that every time he goes to the legs of a woman, that he's going to heaven. She takes him to heaven each time. So we must know our places, and we must know that children are not created for titillation. Children should not be having sex. No, there's no option where the child can decide if he wants to have sex. That's a violation of that child's rights. That grown-ups should never take advantage of that child, and the mother should never give the child over to some adult to have sex with. That is abomination. And the father shouldn't be laying down with their little daughters having sex. That's abomination. We must know the purpose of our children. It is not for them to come here to satisfy us so that we can titillate them for so many nuisance activities. We must understand that we're going to be held accountable for how we raise these houses up. And everybody keeps saying it takes a whole village to raise up a child. We first have got to create the village. And there's nobody home in the village. So how are you going to raise up a child if there's nobody home in the village? Mothers, take your appropriate places. If your child's are infants and toddlers, go home. Create a job and a work from your home and be the first teachers for your children. Let your children be the first, your face, the first face they see when they smile, when they take their first step, when they say their first word, mama, dada. Let your face be the first that they see when they take their first solid food. But I'm telling you, God is sending a warning to these women that are on these jobs that have infants and toddlers at home. You have no business on these jobs. I don't care how good the babysitter is, and I don't care how great grandma is. She is not the mother. And quit trying to make these grandmothers the new mothers who have to go take co-parenting classes. Now, I am recommending all mothers take a co-parenting child class. You might have forgotten your early childhood 101. But for those of you who have gone through divorces, some states are mandated to take 6 credit hours of child development and learning how to co-parent individually without your spouse. It is a difference. And those classes are mandatory in some of the 50 states where you must go and take these classes. You must enroll in an online course. And these are the courses that we taught to Judge Kerman, and we're bringing them back again because we have far too many children that are in the foster care home. Somebody's not learning child care 101, because if they did, they would know that they cannot physically abuse a child. They cannot put their hands on a child. There must be other ways that you can reprove a child through scriptures and through words of wisdom and encouragement, positive reinforcement. But once you put your hand on that child, he's snatched up out of your home, and he's now on his way to another state to stay with somebody outside the family. And that's some of the things, teachers and therapists, that we can do something about and assembling ourselves to make sure that that child is not taken out of the community and that he's given first preference to go to a family member before he's given to a stranger. There's far too many of our children that are trafficking in the sex trafficking and that are ending up dead that are in the so-called foster care system. And if that's the case, then you could have left that child in the mother's care if you're not going to do any better training than that. But we must see this as a problem. And professionals that are therapists, that are marriage therapists, behavior therapists, we need to come together on one accord, and we need to see to it that monthly those children are properly being placed back in their homes or back in a family member no longer than 2 months. Because when they stay any longer than that, the system, the court system, is damaging them, and they need therapy, and they're failing to thrive. They need to have help, and they're stuck in the system and getting abused even further. So we must look at this whole situation, and we must see that we can reorder our marriage vows. Yes, we can. And we can look at our old system that came from Africa that women created when they created polygamy. Are most of our men locked in prison? Is there 7-to-1 men, 7 women for every 1 man? And if there is, how can we get those women connected to some of those prisoners who have committed nonviolent crimes to actually match up with some of these women who are desperately looking for a spousal in their life? Now, in the co-parenting, you must understand that brings the dad back in the child's life. And that allows the dad to do some training with the child so that there is a male in that child's life. So it's necessary for us to push co-parenting. And I know Judge Kermit wants it in the communities, and she's pushing very hard for it, and so am I. Because once you learn child care parenting, it prevents you from abusing your children. It also gives you some interaction and child-appropriate activities to do with that child. It's inappropriate to fondle that child. It's inappropriate to rape that child. And some people don't know this because they keep repeatedly doing these things. And I want to say for the record that we have our Africans to thank for giving us civilization and socializing us in a communal setting. We have our dear Africans to thank. I don't care what anyone say. You can say, yes, but you're an American and you were here with the American Indians, but it wasn't the Indians that civilized us, and it wasn't the Indians that brought us all in. From what I understand, they put us out and refused to give us our benefits from the treaty. But what I am saying is that we must look back at our traditional heritage of where reasoning and socialization came from. We must realize that our particular universities were the first universities that were giving tutelage and giving credentials and degrees. And the Caucasian know this because they printed and wrote about it, and they were the ones that came back, Aristotle and that gang, that came back to preach about Ethiopia being one of the countries that was teaching them and training them. And they were told to shut up. Don't you repeat that. Don't you ever give claim to an African, not a Swabi one, that will get credit for training you. They made these people shut up. They locked them up. They abused them. They tortured them. And they killed them until they got them out of the way so that it wouldn't be printed in any of the books that it was the Africans that civilized the world. But yes, it was. And I want you to know that. And I want you to understand that we cannot go on, African Americans, insulting our ancestors by the way we're acting, like we have never been civilized, like we have never had good tutelage, like we have never had the circle of life training from the folklore training. We cannot continue to go on and be seen on these airwaves exposing our bodies and our behinds. We cannot do this, women. We are mothers of the world. We are the ancient ones, and we are the one that brought all civilization into being. And what will a child think if you are on the stage shaking your behind instead of at home rocking the cradle? It's very vital that with this new world that's coming about with us being out of slavery for over 400 years, we've got to resort back to our old customs and traditions. And I'd like for you to be able to follow the leader. Now, if you haven't decided to follow me, go and follow me and be a follower. We are a family science center and a family and consumer center. Our purpose is Oracle Divination Network. Our network is going to be asking all priestesses, all babalawos, and all priests to sign up, all poets, spoken word artists to sign up. You have something to give. You are the world's gift of the world, and you have something to give back. And we need to have a chamber of people to sit on a chamber every time a court case is held on behalf of a male treatment of an infant and toddler, that if that case has been resolved with that mother getting help and training, that child go back into the home with scrutiny, of course, and we try to work towards getting that mother some help in parenting classes to be a better mother, because usually the mother that birthed that child, if she knows anything about child development and have just had a bad day, she could regroup herself and be a better mother. But we really have to start training and making child development a mandated course in high school, not just when they get to high school, but in middle school. And we've got to look at bringing family life education back into the community. How can they become wise when they're not being taught how to be a seamstress, how to sew, how to cook? How can they be a better man if they don't know anything about relationships and they're not taking home economics? I'm going to get a plug in for home economics, for family science and life, family science and relationship. I am a family educator from the School of Purdue University and Home Economics Consumer Science. And there are many family therapists that are out there doing nothing with their family therapy credential that could really come on this show and probably talk rings around me. But nevertheless, we need to wake up you women to be real women, to make sure that you understand that there is some beauty and having some femininity in you. And don't desire to be another man or don't desire to act the part of a man, but realize that you were brought here to be a feminine woman and to be a mother that takes care of her children. Let's take care of our children. Let's don't be known as the single heads of the household. Find you a good mentor that will come in the home and work with you and your children. And hopefully, if nothing else, you will grow beyond the relationship, and it can grow into a marriage. Marriage is honorable, and we are marketing marriage today. And for those women who want to be remarried back to their old husband, it's possible. You could have a 42-year marriage like I have. You could go back and recite your vows. You can renew your vows, and you can make marriage a great institution. Why don't you do that today, and why don't you start by following the leader? I am the leader in marriage and family therapy, and I would ask that you would connect with us and follow us and pray for us and support us and be not only just a friend, but be a follower. I have 100 followers who have been consistently maintaining for a whole 9.5 years now. I want to thank them publicly for following me and staying with me and during the course of my removal and my divorce and coming back. I want to thank them for supporting me, and I felt their prayers going up. And I know that there's support with their numbers, but I know the numbers are going to grow more than 100. And I'm looking at 1,000 strong this year, and even more so than that. This station is going to be hot and on top of things, and we're going to be bringing some speakers in to talk about family life, and we're going to be addressing Oracle Divination Network, and we're going to be bringing those therapists in so we can heal our marriages. I know a lot of African-Americans don't go to therapists. They don't consider them because their ways are not our ways, but we've got to implant our traditional heritage of African Ifa back into our training so that these women can get discussions going that will help them figure out just what it is that is the matter with their marriage. And hopefully they can correct the problem and get on the bandwagon and get on the good foot and start cooking up something in the kitchen. You don't have to go and make the money and fry it up in the pan too, darling. He will allow you to go fry it up in the pan if you know what you're doing in that there kitchen and let you stay at home to raise those babies. But you first have got to show him you can do something in that kitchen. Most women don't want anything to do with cooking and being domestically inclined. But now is the time for you to get your craft together because that is what makes you marketable for a wife. I know this. I had 2 engagements at the same time, okay, and I can fry it up in the kitchen and I can bring it up in the pan, and I know my way around in those cabinets. So you got to get this through your head that there is a process and there is a protocol for marriage, to get in position for marriage so that the man is coming to woo you and to sport you. Because when a man is sporting, he can sport many women because he's trying to pick and choose between. And at that point, it's okay to date many men, but I didn't say it's okay to go to bed with them. You must understand that you're working with an investment, and you cannot make your stocks replenish by actually selling them off too soon. This is the only thing that you'll ever get to control as a young girl, is holding on to your stock until they appreciate in value. Now, I'm speaking to someone today that needs this message, that needs to go home and internalize what I'm saying. Some mother right now knows she's not doing the right thing by leaving her child with that babysitter. She knows that things are not right with that babysitter, but she just can't take off work another day. But maybe she should go in and give her notice of quitting so that she can go home and be a real mother. God will find a way to provide for you if you've discussed it with your husband and you need some time off to get that baby potty trained. Then maybe he'll give you that time off until you get that baby's potty trained so that you don't have to send that child to the daycare waiting on them to do the work of a mother. Now go ahead, mother, and stand strong with all the other mothers who have decided to be homeschoolers, who went home and decided to be homeschoolers, and their husbands are paying them an allowance and giving them a little extra money to buy those extra things they want. And now they're happier because the baby is happy and the child is coming home to a mother that can do homework and go to school and watch them perform in the classroom. It's very vital that we first honor the responsibility to be a mother. Mother, it's a great thing. It's one of the greatest things you could ever do is to birth a child and to be able to put value in that child and put aim in that child and direction. That's the best thing that you do in spite of any job you ever may hold down. I know this as a master, two-time master degree teacher. I know that all the stuff I did in that classroom did not equate to what I did at home as a real mother. And I'm a real mother. Ask anyone, they'll tell you, Sherelle's a real mother. Okay. Now, once again, I do want to be serious. It is time for you guys to go ahead on and give it up and become a member and a follower. And I will be connecting my website to this site so that you can go over to the website. We have one of the books up there, The Journey of the Class Agent, and I have the cover of The Effects That a Female Has on Black Male up, and we're busily trying to upload that now and format that, and that will be available for the family. And one of the things that we have done for the family is created a family resource center under Lilly Institute for Exceptional Education.weebly.com. It is available now. Mothers, go out there and get access to the material about my baby, your baby can read, and they can. As toddlers, you can teach them flash words and teach them the high-frequency words and phonetically blending words and decoding and encoding so they can read. That is out there on the website. Now, I will say that on my Montu Enterprise.biz, that is a work in progress where we have the recordings from our past 9 years and Blog Talk, and you can download those. And we will be putting up my CD for The Journey of the Class Agent, where you will actually be able to download that. There's a membership. There's basic membership for no cost, certain areas that you can go on. Then in order to get in those other sites, you have to be a VIP to get in certain places on that website, or a VIP Plus. And you'll see the big drum there. It is focusing in on addressing music, spoken word, poetry. And we do have the gear. We have the God's wear for the little G with the big head full of wisdom. So we are marketing our own store on that website. Now, it takes a little while for this, you know, I have been playing around with publishing this website, that I take it down and add other things and, you know, tweet it. So just bear with me because I'm still tweeting it. But nevertheless, those two websites are available. And then there's a wiki. The wiki is where my book is, and it lays out all the books and the CDs, and that's basically what's on that website, and it gives you a little bit about, the actual Mantu Enterprises tells you about my shows, some of the shows I'll be doing for the month of February, spoken word. I am a spoken word artist, international poet. So I'll be doing some poetry around the community. And if any of you would like to know my schedule, I'll be putting that up on there. So if you're in the area of Indy or Gary, and you want to hear me do spoken word poetry, please do come on out. I really am a one-woman show. And they thought I was a whole band, and they wanted me to come out with my entourage and all of my characters and perform. And I said, no, I'm not that kind of conglomerate. I'm just a one-woman show. I do Harriet Tubman one-woman show for those who are interested, and Queen Nzinga. And I do my own poetry collection, which I will be reciting sometime later on this year. I'll be doing some spoken word for my poetry book. I'll be brief And I'll be short. I won't hold you up like some coming thief. I'll just get straight to the point. And in no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll hurry, so you don't even have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the floor, just remember, before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who didn't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it. I really hope that I haven't committed a cardinal sin by taking up too much of your time, my friend. So that's one of the ones that has been set to music, and hopefully I can put more time in to putting the background music to some of those particular poems. There's a 36 collection of poems which I actually created while subconsciously being under meditation. So they were written while I was half asleep and half awake subconsciously. So I can teach anyone to write while they're half asleep and to record their information and write poetry through recording and leaving tidbits of information. But the main thing is that we have a resource center for special needs children, a resource center for parents who want to become parent resource centers and have a parent resource center in their home. Or if they just want to become an advocate and advocate on behalf of their own children in the area of special education and differentiated learning. And for those children who have been mistakenly placed in special ed who supposedly had ADHD, now the mothers want to retract their signature. There's all kinds of training material that I have now on the 94142 regulation and laws and 504 so that they can advocate for their children in these special ed programs. And I also indicated that we need more parent resource centers, not just schools, but parent resource centers where the parent can go and get the assistance they need for their special needs child. Now, I said a whole mouthful, and I know I was scheduled for earlier today, and as I came on earlier today, we had a little technical difficulty, and you have to bear with me because I'm getting up in age, and sometimes when I'm putting up my radio show, I have to remember the new updated things, and they may say, are you going live now, or are you uploading? And then I may hold that for last, and then I come back, and I find that I haven't entered that time in there, then they'll only give you 15 minutes if you don't enter the time. So that's what happened tonight, where I only started off for 15 minutes and had to run out of there real quick and put the show back up on the screen. So I'm sure you're going to bear with me as I go through these growing pains. But nevertheless, I want families to understand what their purpose is. Why does a woman anxiously want to graduate from high school so that she can get married? Because there is some mystical thing in getting married. And there's always been a mystical thing in weddings. And even reciting your vows can be mystical. Don't forget to think about rewriting your vows and reciting them, the ones that you purposely wrote, not the generic boilerplate vows that are given to you, but ones that you have created so you can hold your significant other to the promises that they've made to you. Now, some people will say, well, I should be the one to talk. I was getting ready to get engaged and get remarried before I was asked to go back to my original husband. But nevertheless, I held out for him. I had patience and something called passion for him. And I allowed him to state his case. And so when you give a person a chance to redo things, they can become a better man. And you have to know this. Most of us don't have the patience. We're ready to go on to the next big and best thing. I guess I'm a long, long-suffering person that will have patience with you. But nevertheless, it paid off. And I thank God for children because sometimes children want you to be married more so than anyone. And they can be an advocate for you. Don't think they can't. Because when they step in the picture, their hearts are right. They want to see both of you in a position of being authoritarian in their life. They don't want to side with any one particular person. And I'm glad that I'm coming up on 42 years This December was 42 years for our anniversary because we've been back together, and we added those years back into the 38 that I had, the 7 years back in. It was 7 years, and we were apart, but we added those 7 years back to the 38 and gave us the 42. I guess it was 7 years. I don't know. I'm not even adding here. I'm just sitting here thinking. But nevertheless, one of the things we have to do is understand that when you are getting a divorce, it is a relationship problem. It really is, and people don't seem to understand that that it is a relationship problem, and we have to understand that when you are not getting along with people in general, you will find that you're having problems all over the place with relationships. And it is a problem where you're not listening, not being attentive, or you probably find yourself, just into it with everyone. And you find yourself into it with your mother, your brother, your son, and relationship problems can spill over into our intimacy relationships as well. But it is very important that we should look at how do we solve relationship problems, how do we become a better listener, how do we take the time to be obliging to the other person, how do we hear a person out, and how do we hear how do we hear what they're not saying. And sometimes it's very crucial we only have a little time in that span to hear what a person is saying before we make our conclusive decision. And if we don't attentively listen properly, we might miss something. We might miss that great occasion. And I almost missed that great occasion because I wasn't hearing it and I wasn't having it. And when we get to that point, we block everything out and we can miss the most important part of a conversation. And that's why I often say that I will always try to be able to be a passionate listening person so to keep down confusion. But sometimes you may have that person that is argumentative no matter what, and you just close that person off because you're just not hearing it. And relationships can be rebuilt. You can rebuild a broken relationship. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you cannot. Sometimes we leave for financial reasons. It doesn't have to be that we don't love that person anymore, that we don't trust that person. It could be primarily for financial reasons. But we can fix financial reasons with just a little filthy lucre. We can correct them with a change in our finance, with a change in how we're promoted to a higher paying job, or with a change in how we change profession. We can fix that, and then all is well in the White House, and then all is well, we can function again. And a lot of times your children want to step in and say, well, let me fix that with these few dollars, let me throw some dollars on it. And a lot of times people, you know, husbands will come back and say, let me put some money on it. And most women will say, well, can you put some money on that? They say, well, I ain't got the whole amount because I can put something on it. And that's how it's always is for our brothers. They can put something on it, but not the whole amount. Well, we got to get it so that they can better themselves, so they can make whatever they're worth. So many black men have to work under the means of the guideline of what it takes to have a decent income, because we're living under the poverty level, under $16,000 a year, and it used to be that you can live off $16,000. Now it's near the poverty level, and you got brothers who are working two jobs trying to maintain. So we got a lot going on in our society, but we have to understand that there is a ploy to destroy black people. There's a ploy to demonize them And there is a ploy to keep them divided and conquered and separated and divorced. I know this because there was more people happy when I got divorced than when I remarried. They were angry at me for remarrying the same person. They thought, oh, my God, so how can you be angry for me doing something for me? You know, it's to their betterment if they think you are separated and lonely like them. But I have never had to be lonely in my life until I was separated. I didn't like when I was divorced. I didn't like the feeling. I didn't like it one bit. You know, there's some people that you can keep by themselves till the cows come home. They will never miss people. But I love people. I love the connection of people. So I vowed in my heart that I had to be a better person, that I had to be a better listener, and that somewhere along the line, when the story is told, maybe I'll hear it differently the next time around. And I'm cautioning somebody right now who need to go back home, who's been away from home and who has not reunited with that significant other, and who can make a difference and be a better woman or a better man and mend that relationship. We're talking about mending marriages. We're talking about 38 years of marriages. You just don't throw 20 to 30 years away. You find somebody that is the actual ultimate real deal that can talk their way into your life to convince you that it's okay to mend that relationship. I had my sister praying for me every step of the way. She was a praying sister, and she believed that that marriage would reunite just from her prayers. Her belief brought us back. And I'm saying to somebody right now who's trying to make the decision, should I go back? Can I go back? Will he take me back? Will I accept him? I'm saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I am a sure believer that if you put everything you got and let it ride on that relationship, that will be the greatest hope you will ever create in your life. Because when you have children involved and you see the expression on their face for you reuniting and bringing the family closer and back together, it will make all the difference in the world. I'm saying reorder those marriage vows for the 21st century. Recite your own vows. Come together with your significant other. Go to therapy. Go see somebody who you can depend on. It don't always have to be a therapist, or it doesn't always have to be a minister, but somebody you can believe in. Remember, you were married to that community, and there's got to be one friend in that community that's rooting for you to reunite with your significant other. It can be done, people. I know it can. And as I come up on celebrating, I am now trying to teach others about the marriage vows and about marriage and what does it mean and what do you do in a marriage. When a woman has a husband, she's committed to that husband, not the church. She goes home and fix a plate for the husband. She don't go to the church and go in the kitchen and cook chicken for the family. She goes home to her husband. And when you get off work, you don't go hanging out with the boys. You go home to your wife because she got something teat at home for you. She wants to break bread with you and find out how your day go. And she's waiting for you to sit down and to give that encouragement to the family and to look into that baby's eyes, to watch his eyes glimmer with gleam as you tell him, son, someday you're going to be a big boy and you're going to go to work. And then she's waiting for you to come home and encourage her to take that exam one more time in nursing because she can pass it. She can advance herself because you're the encourager, husband. You're the encourager, father. You're the one that comes home and takes the temperature of the household. And if anybody's out of order or needs an infusion, you can infuse them with the right words. And mother, vice versa. You must remember Africans change in exchange roles, but you don't go out there, women, and take on the whole family, and now you working and your husband's at home eating bonbons while you go out and work and he's taking the food stamps, going around the corner buying food, eating and watching TV, and he's not even trying to be employed. No, we must stop that stuff. We don't just want to have a man at home who's doing nothing. He must be bringing some income in to maintain the family. And there must be a plan. How is it that a man wants to be married and doesn't have a plan? You must demand, wives, that he get a plan that you can work and work you in the plan. So y'all working towards the master plan. You have different plans. You have the 6 months plan. You have the 1 year plan and the 5 year down the road plan. But you work your plan and orchestrate it. But you don't let no outside people come in and antagonize you and the wife. Y'all stand together as one. You become entangled as one. You are one. You represent each other. When he speaks, you finish his sentence. So when you're becoming one, you're not out to get the other one, and you're not siding against your own flesh and blood because you are one now. It's very important that we should get this. Because we are talking about mind, soul, body, and spirit, and something is wrong with your baby, so something wrong with you. When she's hurting, you are hurting. And we must understand there must be pure balance in our household. And there can't be any infidelity, but you don't quit a man over infidelity. You don't give up a man because of infidelity. You don't tear down your own house with your own hand. You make him suffer, yes, but you must explain to him you have built him up to be the man that he is, and that's why most women think that a married man is more available to them because they don't have to do the work because you've already done it for them. And you don't just walk away from a 50-year marriage or a 30-year marriage because there's infidelity. You speak to that so-and-so and take him aside and let him know what his options are. Make a deal with him that he can't refuse. But it's very vital that we have got to stop being a throwaway society. We throw everything away. We get 4 or 5 phones and throw 2 of them away and get 2 more new ones. We are a throwaway society. We're throwing our men away, and men, you're throwing away good women. You got to stop this. You got to know that that is not the process. Now, let me take some phone calls here, see who's out here ready to make a phone call. If you're out there on the line, our phone lines are 760-539-3247. I'm Omi Inka 7, Sherelle Garth. You can call in to talk with the host. I am available. We're talking about science of family. What does a family mean? What does a family do? Why is it pertinent to get married, and is it a good thing for a man to find a wife? What are the purpose of children? How do you manufacture children in a family life? And now that we are much, you know, the 21st century, is the family the same thing that it was in the 1800s? Do we manifest many children so they can work the fields and so that they can bring in money? Is that the same concept? Or families getting smaller? They're getting smaller these days, and maybe they're 2 to every household. But at the same time, mothers, are we running and pushing every one of our children to graduate and go to college? Is that the path for every child? Does every child have to go to a top 10 university, or can they go to the junior colleges? I don't know if you know this, but Obama has put a law out where he is allowing the junior colleges to offer free classes for students who would like to go to the technical 2-year schools. That would be great, because in Europe, they are doing that. Every one of the students go to something called gymnasium. So when they graduate, they get a chance to go into a two-year trade. And if that doesn't work, they can switch over to another two-year trade. Then I think it's up to three different trades. And in the meantime, they're giving housing allowance, and they can stay in housing, and they're not out on the street robbing and stealing. This will prevent those children from going from store to store, stealing, trying to make it. They have nowhere to go when their mothers put them out at 18. They have no roof over their head. They don't have a full-time job, and they cannot make it. These 2 years in trade school will give them a skill, a trade, so that they don't have to go and rob from others, and they can be less stressful on society, and our statistics for robbery can go down, and our homelessness can go down. That's a great thing that Obama is proposing to do. Now, let's just make sure he carries through, and he does that, because every young person needs to be in a technical school getting technical training. And there is technical training in the high school if they start from the high school in the area of engineering and biomedicine. There's also medical records that they can take right in high school and they transition out. Then there's child development. And one of the areas I push is for child development for their senior year or their ninth grade year when they start taking child development. They can transition out into the work profession and do internships in child development. They can even then have me come in to assess them by the state and help to grant them a non-traditional credential as a child development specialist. They can actually be a head teacher. Some states they can teach up to third grade, and they can own their own family child care or center care. And they can take a job with the government and go internationally and work for the Navy, Air Force, or the Marine, or Army. So there's great opportunities in these two-year technical opportunities, but if they take AP advanced curriculum at the high school, they can advance in the home economics area into child development. Now, I've been saying a lot this evening, and I'm waiting for those phone lines to light up. If you're out there, I'd love for you to call in. I am the host, Omienka, Seven and Tribe, also known as Sherelle M. Garth. I've been away for a while, and to all of my followers, I'm glad to be back, and thank you so much for receiving me with such grace and dedication. And I'm asking you to come on in this house and to sign up with us, because we are going to be doing the doggone thing this year, where we are going to be addressing mind, soul, body, and spirit. Whatever's pertaining to the body, if it's hurting you and you need to have some sexual healing, you can come in here and get a word of wisdom. We don't have very much sex in here for you, but we can give you a word of wisdom and encourage you to make sure that you're living a complete life in harmony. Make sure that you are, oh, my God, I'm just tearing things up here. Make sure that you're not only practicing, you know, help for yourself, but if you are a family man, make sure that you're going home and you're tending to your wife. Make sure that your wife knows that you're concerned about what is bothering her. Make sure that your wife knows that you can really, really be the father and the man that you claim to be, and you can go in and you can make some changes. So I want to say to those fathers that opt to be a better man that I'm rooting for you, that you come home from these prisons and that you renew your faith and you start again and you rekindle that relationship with new vows and begin to start to recite your own personal vows and make commitments of things that you know you're going to do and begin to start a new life. And let's rekindle the institution of marriage, and let's realize that that institution of marriage is a good thing and that we must expound upon it and make sure that our African-American families go back to our old ways and begin to start to train our children in the way that they should go so that they don't stray away from us and that we make a better environment, because right now it looks pretty bad for us. I mean, everybody is hating Chris and looking down and demonizing the African-American, and we can do better than this. We can get our name back again, and we can gain the respect that we are due. And we can be the first world people again who everyone comes to for direction, and we can be those ancient ones that will give insight to our children that are still running rampant, because we must take the lead. And once we take the lead, we must steer in the proper direction. And it is midnight now, so we are going to take the lead, and I'm going to bid every one of you a farewell and say thank you for joining in on this conversation. I know we didn't have any phone calls tonight, but there will always be another day. You can call in, and we'll be expounding upon this topic. And we're going to be bringing a guest host in to speak from marriage and family therapy perspective, so you can hear from a marriage and family therapist. And I am a family life educator licensed in the area of preschool K through 9 in Illinois and K through 8 in Indiana. So I am a trained therapist with a ministerial license and background, so I have the right and license to marry, bury, and baptize. I do not believe in the boilerplate traditional marriage, but I do believe in a theological perspective where you write up your own vows and you make your own commitment to each other. And I do believe that it's very important for you to get premarital counseling, and that you should also look at restraining and maintaining from having children the first 5 years, so you can get your plan together and get it laid out and get it implemented while you are earning and saving money, so that you can prepare for bringing your children in this world after 5 years, when you have become more matured. As Francis West Wesley would say, you need to be at least 30 years old. I'm not saying 30 years, but at least wait 5 years after the marriage so you can be in a trial marriage. And that trial marriage, if it doesn't work, you can walk away from it and nobody's lost anything. And after the trial marriage, then you can go up to the courthouse and ask for your marriage certificate. And now you're coming up on 6 years, and it's more potential that you'll make it and do well. I trust and pray that you'll make it and do well in your commitment for this sanction of marriage. And marriage is a good thing and an institution that should be upheld. So let's uphold the institution of marriage, and let's encourage those ones who have to be married. But I know that there's people talking, well, what about those men that want two wives and want to practice polygamy? Are you for that? Whatever that man thinks he can financially afford, if he can maintain polygamy income, then he can do what suits his fancy, and I will support that. But he must be able to make enough money to provide for both women and give them equally the same things that he would give the other. And on that note, it's 12 midnight, people, and I'm about to get up out of here. And I'd say, oh, get ready so we can come back in good form and know that we are getting ready. We're getting ready, getting ready, getting ready. And let's see here. And I want to say thank you, and do call in again. We'll be back in tomorrow at you. Thank you. Oh, double.